Okay, you are recording.
This is like MacArthur did a bunch of...
I'd like to call to order the Board of Education meeting for August 28, 2017. It is 6 p.m. Please call the roll.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Dozen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes. Let's all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You need to go to into exec session? May I have a motion?
Do we need to change the agenda?
Yeah, so to make an amendment to the agenda to add an executive session after the Pledge of Allegiance.
Okay.
For, according to Board Policy 0166, and it would be for reason item A.
Do you want a motion for that?
Any other agenda items that we need changed?
No other amendments, no.
Okay. Can I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Can I have a motion to go into an executive session?
Don't we have to pass to change the agenda first?
Oh, sorry. Thank you.
Okay. Roll call. Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Dozen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes. Item, I think, 3 would be, but...
Item 2A.
Item 2A. Can I have a motion to go into executive session?
So moved. So, second.
Roll call.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Dozen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes. We will now be in executive session.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item 3, recognition and presentations. Is Julie Firestone here? See her? Okay. We have A, Brecksville Broadview Heights School Foundation Trustee Janelle Henning. It is part of her foundations. It is part of in their policy to recommend who their next trustee is. And Janelle Henning, she's not here, I don't think, but... Oh, I'm sorry, Deb. I'm so sorry. Janelle Henning has been a wonderful advocate for this school district. She spearheaded the playground that's down at Hilton, and she's been very active in the PSO, so we feel very lucky on Foundations to have Janelle join our team and are looking forward to working with her in the future. She's a great worker and a great advocate for our district. Item 4, administrative reports. We have A, the strategic vision update from Joelle, and then we have B, the curriculum and instruction from Maggie. She's going to give us an update on where we're at with that. So go ahead.
Okay, thank you. In front of you, you have a long legal-sized piece of paper. I have tried to update this with as much information as I have from last year and this year, and any place prior to that I had actual numbers, I inserted those as well. So I'm just going to go through the categories as they are listed here. Under resources, as you know, we passed our 5.99 mil levy this past school year. We will are due to collect that at the beginning of the 17-18 school year in January of 18. So you will see it not reflected in 16-17, but the half of the collections reflected in 17-18. Under facilities, we started with the ELP process this past school year in 16-17 through ODE. While that did not cost us anything to participate in the ELP program, we did hire an architecture firm to validate the findings of the ELP at the cost of $9,500 last year. We are continuing through that planning process with our facilities committee to establish a master plan and to determine whether or not we have a need for a bond issue that potentially could go on the ballot in May or November of 2018. That bond, as it is right now, could be anywhere from $23 to $26 million to use for that facilities plan. Under transportation, as you know, you reinstated transportation at the high school back in 2014-15 at a cost of about $87,000 to the district. In your columns, 15, 16, 16, 17, our transportation costs have actually gone down. So we went from about a $2.1 million cost in transportation down to $2 million. So I have reflected there with parentheses the difference from the year prior. So between 14, 15, and 15, 16, our transportation costs were down $80,000, and then an additional $16,000 in 16, 17. We have yet to see what those costs will be for this current school year. Also with that, under the half-day kindergarten model, when we went to transporting kids, there was, a proposal out there. Mark had shared with me, at one point, we had a two-and-a-half-day model for kindergarten, and we went to a five-day model. And then we had talked about going from an a.m. to a p.m. route to have a boat. We did not do that, so we have just the p.m. route. So that cost that you see there is actually just a flat cost that if we were to run that AM, PM, we never did it. So I left that cost just there so you knew what that was after I had spoken to Rick Fillmore about that. Pay to participate, as you know, due to the passage of the levy, we had agreed, or you had agreed as a board, to reduce the caps for pay to participate. So with the pay to participate cost us about, prior to the reduction of the caps, cost the district about $13,640 per year. With the reduction in the caps this year, that is going to cost us $337,698 approximately. The data-driven decisions, we had a data warehouse. Last year, we piloted a different data warehouse, and so therefore, the company did not charge us for the use of that data warehouse. So that cost we are incurring this year for that data warehouse is going to be $13,000 to keep our information. Our middle school and high school utilize that program. Under human resources, it has been asked since 2014 for an HR software package. We have yet to purchase one. I have it in orange for 17-18. I'd like it to be part of our discussion as goals and objectives because it is desperately needed. We walk in Brian's office and see everything written on a whiteboard. we just want to make sure that we're tracking our information appropriately. So it's something that is still a need for us that I'd like to continue to explore. Under the areas of STEM, this past year we implemented for this school year our after-school science club, K to 5. That's an increase of about $12,000 to our budget to pay for the extra time in the teacher's day to make sure that we can utilize that program. We're really excited about it. Each of the buildings is going to meet in science club at least once a month, K to 5. So we're pretty excited about that and service our kids who have been identified and gifted through that after-school science club. Media technology integration specialist. This was Scott's position that was created in 15-16. In 16-17, we kind of split Scott, so you will see half of his salary reflected there. He also did some language arts, and you'll see his other half of salary reflected on the second page of this. Scott is also staying in that same position as the media technology integration specialist for this school year, too, also doing the language arts, so that is also reflected on the other side, which is half of his salary. Under evaluation, there were some additional administration added when the OPEZ and OTEZ requirements came from the state. The costs that you see in 16-17 and 17-18 reflect the assistant principal cost at Central School, so those are why those two figures are different. We have two different people that served last year and this year. Facilities upgrades. This is the recreational use facilities, so anything done to our athletic fields or any of those public spaces. This is those costs that you see here are not for one specific project. That is a culmination of multiple projects that happened in 16-17 and anticipated costs 17-18. Much of the costs in 17-18 are due to the improvements that we are needed to make down at the Stadium Drive property where most of that money is coming from. So it's not one big project. It's a multitude of things. I have a listing here, and Chris, if you're interested in seeing what some of those projects are, I have it here for you to review. Under technology, we have our current technician. You will see in 16-17 and 17-18 just the salary increase for that position. It was once talked about, our network specialist, I'm sorry, left at the end of the 2015-16 year. We did not replace that position last year. We do not have it in the right now to replace this year. However, John is in need of some network service, so we're looking to contract that out and not necessarily hire a person, but be able to provide him that resource as needed. In 15-16, it was talked about adding a couple other technicians to that technology department. Those hires did not happen, so we did not hire any of those additional technology technicians that were anticipated or wanted in 15-16. The site was paid for through PI money, as you see. Our 6-7 implementation, I apologize, in 16-17, that should be blue. We completed our 6-7 implementation of the one-to-one initiative. We added 8th grade this year, so that is still in progress, and again, being paid through PI funds for that. Safety and security, Chris's favorite topic. He talks about it all the time. I skipped over park testing. Park testing no longer exists, so instead of park testing, it did in 13-14 when the strategic vision was created. I have since changed that over to gifted testing and gave you the cost of our gifted testing. One of the things that we're doing this year that is different from years past is we are doing universal screening for gifted services in grades 2nd and 5th grade. So the cost you will see here is a little bit higher because of that universal. We're buying a test for every 2nd grader and every 5th grader to be able to do those screenings. Now to Chris's favorite topic. In 16-17, we had access controls. That's our FOB system that we had some upgrades. The Navigate system, which is our security. It's on our phones. We have an app that are able to look at our buildings and look and for security purposes. We also implemented a volunteer screening application where our volunteers that work in our building have to be background checked. So we had several people take advantage of that, over 300 volunteers. And so all of those things together was approximately a $60,000 cost for safety and security. This year we anticipate that volunteer screening, we still have it. It's been a great program. The screening is good for 3 years. So because we had such a large number screened last year, we anticipate our numbers this year being a lot smaller because typically the same people will volunteer year after year. They don't have to repeat that screening for 3 years. We have Navigate fee that we have to maintain with our app, and we're doing some camera upgrades at the high school. So that is reflective in that cost of approximately $11,000 for safety and security. Our RTI and student services, the protocol was selected back in 15-16. We are in the process of just maintaining and implementing, so there's no additional cost to that RTI student services. We did add the 0.5 pupil personnel administrative assistant. That is Rita, so she works part-time for Chris's office, and she works part-time out of Gina's office. And so that is reflective of part of her partial salary for the part that she is working for student services. Under curriculum, we had the STAR, so you see that cost reflected in 15-16. We moved to do an iReady pilot in 16-17. That is a large number there. It was a 2-year license that we purchased in 1 year. So we did the pilot last year. It ran through middle school, and we do not have a cost for it this year because we paid for it ahead of time when we purchased it last year. We went from Explore to Aspire because of the new testing requirement. We purchased it last year for $21,000. It will be a little less this year to have Aspire. Kathleen has asked me to work with Maggie and talk to the high school to see if this is a program that is being utilized to its full potential. So we will be having those conversations with Steve moving forward about whether or not this is an expense that we want to continue moving forward. The extended days for the counselors, we did reinstate those starting in 15-16. They've been very beneficial. I provided you some detail and some data on that probably in March of last year. Parents were very happy. The reason we put those days in there was to allow for parents to have access to our guidance counselors to help with college applications and college information. They had full schedules last summer, and again, full schedules this summer of parents taking advantage of that extra time. So really has been positive for our district at a minimal cost, comparatively speaking, for the extra outreach we've been able to provide. We had talked about back in 14-15 to explore a social worker partnership, still something that we have not done, still absolutely a need, so it's still in yellow. While we haven't budgeted for it, it's still part of a conversation that I'd like to continue to have. The team leaders you see here, we have identified the team leaders and their salaries in 16-17 and what their salaries would be in 17-18. The all-day kindergarten literacy model, we went and pulled numbers just so you can get an idea. The board had allocated $55,000 to provide scholarships for kids who qualified to go into all-day kindergarten in 15-16. $37,000 of that 55 was utilized. In 16-17, $40,000 was utilized, and we're still in the process of screening now for 17-18, so we don't have a figure for that yet. Should soon, as we're continuing to wrap up, we should be able to provide you with that figure of what it would be. Student-teacher ratio, those ratios were set back in 13-14 at 20 in kindergarten, 23 grades 1 to 3, 25 and 4 through 12. Because of financial situations and because of looking at class sizes and where we need to be, we looked at maintaining a ratio from K to 5 to 25 to 1 this past year. We were about plus or minus 2 in any of those sections for this past school year. That is still what we worked on this year. We have made some adjustments most recently to alleviate some of those numbers because they did get higher than that, a lot higher than that. And so we made some adjustments to accommodate that. So these are just some numbers to look at moving forward. And it just begs the question as we, again, are planning on the 6th, were the targets that we set in 13-14, are they still relevant today? And so we need to just continue to have that conversation. In terms of staffing, we just pulled across what the recommendations were to make reductions in staff from 15-16. We are still, in this current school year, down a 0.5 of an FTE. So we have just some basic dollar amounts depending on where that FTE falls in terms of salary, of what that savings might be. And the last, under communication, the state of the schools report. In the past, we have made that a printed document. We've printed out in color several of those documents. Now with technology and everyone really loving their emails much more than anything paper, we're making a recommendation not to print those, but just to have them available. This year we were able to link that to our state report card, so once a report card comes out, people will also be able to access our quality profile straight from our district report card. Okay. Any questions that I can answer for you on this?
A lot of this, Mark and I, at our pre-agenda, we were like trying to jar our memories as well, so if there's anything that else that you remember or something's ambiguous, then please make sure that when you let Joelle know, because this is what, she's going to be working off of on the 6th. So. Thank you very much. Maggie, curriculum and instruction.
Actually, just the left one, I think. Oh, you got it. Good man.
So I've missed all the other updates, so now we're into another school year, so this is kind of old news. But good news, it's coming up.
There it is.
So at the beginning of each year, so in the summer, our data starts coming in from the following year and how our students did. So not only just our state data, which I'll show you all the different state data that we collect, but also any progress monitoring or school or district-wide data that we collect. With that, we meet as a district, and then we meet as principals and discuss what are your building level goals going to be. From that, this is when I meet with our instructional coaches and we develop what our plan would look like. So last year in the fall, we decided, if you look and see K-8 math data collection and progress monitoring, we were already further along on developing our curriculum at that point. They were ready to teach in the classroom the lessons they were designing and come back and talk about the data they had collected and progress monitor students. Whereas K-8 ELA, we started to delve more into unit and book studies, trying to put rich text into kids' hands. We spent a lot of time at our middle school developing units around different lessons, so kids would be reading books and have book studies. mainly to bring some of that real-world application to the students and training them how good books can be a good way to learn at any level and just for enjoyment purposes. This year we revised the K-3 report card, so they'll be coming out. They're not completely done yet. The teachers just came back, and I had met with Connect at the end of the year, and I just got them back last week. So I have to meet with the teachers, and then I can share those out to you in a Friday update. But mainly around the fact that if we're going to assess our kids or we're going to report to parents, are we all doing that the same way? And so with our K-3 buildings, there is quite a discrepancy, and mainly because we have the three different buildings, and you know they time run like independent contractors. And so what we're trying to say, no matter what kindergarten you come out of, no matter what second grade you come out of, when you move into our central school, the standards and the learning have been the same, and we've expected the same amount of rigor. So that is what we did. K to grade level and content teams, we went ahead and established meeting times with them. I met with all of them last year, and we had half days or full days to provide timely professional development for them on the content standards themselves. And then lastly on this page, we did the STEM review and audit through Case Western Reserve. And we had a great opportunity to attend the Smithsonian Science Institute. So we received the grant. Go ahead to the next one. So we received the grant to attend the Science Institute. It was, in 25 years of education, the best, most well-planned professional development opportunity I have ever sat through for an entire week, from 8 in the morning to 5 at night, and you know, not a minute went by that I was thinking, oh gosh, I could really be doing something else. All of these things, which you sometimes do it by noon, yeah. But no, it was just incredible. I feel fortunate. We received the grant for $7,000. We were able to take 5 people, and so it was a district leader, curriculum person, myself. We took Michelle Leisman, who is our STEM leader, our district STEM leader. And then we were to take a parent representative, and we took Tracy Melander. And then we also took an elementary person and a middle school person. And what you do is we went through all of these different levels of understanding, the changing landscape of STEM education. I mean, one big proponent for myself is I had a hard time seeing that STEM is a building. So kids go to this building because it only reminds me of what we do in art and music, and we don't embed it into everyday learning. So I was really excited to learn that's what this institute was about. You develop the STEM education model by teaching teachers how to design those specific lessons. So what we did by the end of the week, started a draft, a 5-year strategic draft. Just a draft, because what we're looking to do now is we're going to take this information we received from our audit back to our teachers. So as school's just getting started in September, I'm going to be meeting at each building, sharing the information we received from the audit. Great information around how are we doing in STEM education, how are we just doing in science itself, K-5. Sharing that information, we're going to then ask for representatives at each building to want to be involved in having the discussion of how to develop a STEM education for our K-5 buildings, and then we're going to have our parent group and our PSO group become part of that process before even moving any further with a strategic plan, because that takes many voices. So this is just a draft. We were fortunate to learn all of these things, but I think we have a good understanding of how to move us forward. Then professional development wise, this is a little different than that first slide. So those are goals that we did, but amongst those goals are also things that I survey the teachers on. What are things that you need to know in the classroom so you can continue forward with becoming the best teacher you can be? So iReady obviously was a big purchase. We took on a 5-year purchase with that iReady price tag, and then the progress book and our data map, as Joelle talked about. How can I continue to use these products to inform parents and to get classroom data, but setting aside time for me to learn and how best I can use it in my classroom. At the end of the year, we had a teacher academy, and about 15 teachers participated to get Google certified. We were able to give them Ashland credit if they wanted credit for their licensure, or just CEUs. We provided Google Classroom training. We brought in a language arts specialist 6 to 9, because as we, 2 years ago, as we saw when we were looking at our data, we needed to have some more conversations about what that looks like in the classroom. And so we brought somebody in 2 years ago into the beginning of last year. And then by then, they were set to move on, and Scott and myself moved them forward with that transition. Through the state, we get at each ESC, there's an assessment literacy coach. And this was a free person, so I took advantage of that. And this person came into our middle school and our high school to sit with our PLCs to talk about assessment literacy. So data in your classroom, how can you use it? Some of our teams are excellent at it, and others just needed to listen. The coach is a retired teacher from Parma, middle school teacher, and had very very good examples of how to apply that as a classroom teacher. So he's been very beneficial to us. I think middle school might still use it a little bit. And then Learning A to Z is another product that we use to help assess our kids and also give some learning opportunities. And a really great opportunity this year, or this past year, was the 8, 9, and 10. So grade social studies teachers and ELA teachers building units together, cross-curricular units. So that was really exciting. And our teachers just, they in fact said, I had sent them to one training, and then they said, please don't make us go back to that training. I think we're further than we need, you know, than we need to go back to that. If you give us a day to sit down. And I said, okay, so show me the units that you prepare at the end of the day. And they did, and it's very exciting that we have two of those social studies teachers and ELA teachers working together to provide education for our kids at that high level. So that's great. Go ahead. Vanna? Nope, that's... Okay, so kindergarten scholarships. Joelle brought this up a little bit, and I know that you've always wanted information back on what does your money get you, and is it working for us? So the first year, I couldn't provide this because we didn't use a measure at the beginning of the year. We only used it in the middle and the end of the year. So last year, we do have a diagnostic that we use, K to 5, and now we're going to be using K to 8, is iReady. So you use it 3 times a year just to show growth of students. Are they maintaining and learning throughout the year? Last year, we provided 31 students received a scholarship. So a scholarship doesn't always mean the full scholarship. 12 of those students received a full scholarship. 14 students received 2 months off tuition, and 5 students received 1 month. And the 1 month is if you, your data's fine, you're coming into kindergarten as prepared, but then you have a reduced rate for lunch, because that was part of the metric that you had all put into place early on prior to me. So out of 31 students, by the end of last year, one was above grade level, 27 at grade level, and 3 were still below grade level. That is huge. So those extra opportunities do matter, and they really help these 31 students move forward. Just to give you an idea of the assessment that we work on throughout my department, if you look on the left, it's all state assessments. So those are all uploads, things that we have to, mandated assessments go through. The KRA is a kindergarten. OGT, we have 2 students left taking the OGT. It happens to be each of them, 21 now? I think they're 21. They did not pass the science. And so we've been still trying to provide intervention. They want to pass the test. And it is great that they're keeping in contact with us. So I just ordered 2 assessments for them to come in, and they'll take it in October. So it's a great opportunity because the GED is very difficult to get. So this is probably their best gain, is to try to pass this way. So we've been working hard at that. At that point in time, the OGT will be phased out for us. Alternate assessment is for our special needs students that are unable to take state assessments. And then as you can see, we have the 3-to-8 test. A good news this year, the state dropped the social studies test. So grades 4 and 6 will not take that any longer. We have the end of course assessments. The WALPA is the ELL for our students that speak another language at home. And then our state-funded ACT that we give junior year. District assessments that we work through are usually diagnostic in nature. iReady, Achieve 3000, Aspire, and that's just an 8th grade. PSAT is for the National Merit Scholar. Not every student takes that. And then the Iowa, we give in grade 2nd and 5th, as Joelle discussed, for the gifted testing. So I shared all that because we have preliminary results for our report card at this point in time. Our data should be out fully by September 15th. Achievement-wise, we've received an A. We met 22 out of 22 indicators. Excellent. Our performance index was a 106.6. We were 0.1 away from an A, I think. So we're very close with that measure. Our annual measurable objectives, we received a B, and again, I think we were 0.3 just away from receiving an A. The gifted indicator, we have, if you receive not met in any of these areas, you are not met. The first area, though, and I have a call into the state, I believe this is not met at this point in time because the value-added data is not out yet for the report card, and that's what that last line is. It's not recorded yet. That's the last piece. But we did meet the performance index, and we did not meet the gifted inputs. Graduation rates are, we have an A for 4-year and 5-year. In K-3 literacy, you have to remember when it comes to value-added, a C is a year's worth of growth. And again, we are, our scale score went up quite a bit, that we are very close to that B, so I could see us moving into that next year. And I think...
What's the change from last year on our report card?
The difference between last year and this year? When the official report card comes out, I can put a sheet together.
Okay.
Would you like me to do that? So then it will show that this is all preliminary, so again, something might change in there.
Because it's the first, we have the same test for both years, so we can actually compare.
Yeah.
The bar is the same for once?
Yeah. Did they change the test?
The percentages went up, though.
Percentages do go up. So
oh, they keep taking the bar.
They keep changing it, yes.
But, yeah.
So, for example, the annual measurable objectives, that bar keeps moving up. So, for example, our three subgroups for language arts are African American, IEP, and economically disadvantaged. And so with that being said, with language arts, the bar was at 77, but in math it was at 72. So students, that's the proficient level for those students to get to. Then they take, so they do it against what the state score is. So they take your annual, your AMO that year for those subgroups, measure it against the state, and how the state did. Along with that calculation, they measured against how you did last year. So they're measuring your own population, again, of students. And then with that, they're also doing the value-added piece of it. So that's a three-point measure there that correlates into our B. But what I can do is I did already put a document together, and I didn't share it with this, with our performance index scores. And if we were high or low, and I also put a document together already with all of our achievement indicators and if they were higher or lower this year.
Okay.
So I can share that out. Any other questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Communications, item 5A, hearing of the public. Persons wishing to address the board may do so at this point. No formal action will be taken on subjects that are not included on this agenda until the board has had an can you hear me okay? I just want to make sure. Has had an opportunity to study them. Comments regarding personnel must be submitted in writing through the office of the superintendent in order for the board to complete the planned agenda in an effective and efficient manner, and to provide sufficient opportunities for members of the public to be heard. Hearing of the public shall be limited to a maximum of 30 minutes, during which, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. Each speaker shall be limited to a maximum of 3 minutes. Mr. Dozen, since this is my first board meeting, will you please keep the time up?
Yes, I will.
Okay. Is there anybody that wishes to be heard?
I would like to be heard. Please.
Please state your name and your address.
My name is Sarah Buttison, and I'm a reporter at News 5, as you may know. And the reason
I don't know that. I'm sorry.
Address.
We need your address. That's our protocol.
Our station's address is 3001 Euclid Avenue, Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay.
4114.
Okay. Thank you very much.
So this is a public school district, right?
Yeah.
This is a public meeting. You're all elected officials?
Correct.
Okay. So you're all accountable to taxpayers. So help us understand that, why it is that your board spent more than $300,000 in legal fees to negotiate teachers' contracts.
So Sarah, thank you very much. We will answer your question in a timely fashion. We only report out on these sort of questions in writing so we can make sure we have the accurate facts, because I'm sure that you want to report the accurate facts.
You've refused to answer my questions multiple times so far.
Thank you, Sarah.
Why is that?
Thank you, Sarah. We did submit we were very responsive to and submitted a statement.
I have not received a statement.
I'll be happy to resend that, Sarah.
So you never sent a statement?
You didn't send it, okay.
What statement are you referring to? What? Do you think taxpayers deserve answers about this? It's their money.
Sarah, I'll be happy to answer you in writing. Just like we do for everybody in the public. And we speak with one voice, and I'm the board president, and we don't answer people and get into dialogue like this. We just don't think it's good protocol. We like to be factual.
Why have you refused to answer questions so far about how you spend the taxpayers' money in this city?
Sarah, again, I will be happy to report to you anything, any of your questions. I'll make sure
you're refusing to answer our questions.
Sarah, I think
would anyone else
Sarah,
like
I think
to answer our questions?
Send us your questions, and we'd be happy to respond to them.
Yeah,
I've not seen any questions from you. So
yeah,
send your questions to the entire board. You can go on our website, and you can use
times.
You can send your questions to the board, and we will respond to your questions. Absolutely.
In fact, I did ask you to submit them in writing, and you refused. You said that that's not what you do. You said that you don't do that for
anybody.
That's
not true. You're mischaracterizing the
conversation. Where are we at in our time?
Most importantly,
we're close.
Why did this board spend more than $300,000 on negotiating teachers' contracts? Don't taxpayers, some of whom are in this very room, deserve an answer?
Time's up.
Thank you, Sarah. That's 3 minutes. Thank you.
And again, please send us your questions.
Mark, we stick to our protocol. And does anyone else wish to be heard? Yes.
My name is Sandy Klopp. I'm at 10836 Canada Trail, Rexville. Longtime resident. My husband was president of the school board, built the high school. But my main purpose in coming up is to tell my dear Debbie to thank you for your service.
Oh my God.
And I have never attended a board meeting of education since my husband went off the board. But I wanted to come up and congratulate her for serving for the district. And thank her, because I won't be back to another meeting. It's time to go to Florida.
Oh.
But I want to thank you,
Todd. Oh, my God. Thank
we're
you
always
so
welcome.
Much.
Thank you.
You're so sweet. Thank you.
Yes. Please state your name and address, and you have 3 minutes.
Yes, in time.
Just want to make sure I'm heard.
Bonnie Monteleone, speaking on behalf of the Rexville Broadview Heights Education Association. My address is 755 Brentwood Boulevard, Copley, Ohio. It always mortifies me to put that out there with all my students. All right, I am here tonight because I wanted to specifically, on behalf of the teachers, thank Joelle for a very successful opening day. I would be remiss if I didn't say how much we enjoyed the opening that we had. Not only did we have the typical things that go into our opening day, but we also had an inspirational message that was delivered to us about getting up and having our students be more active in the kinesthetic learning and how to have a healthier student and staff participation with education. It was awesome. Now, as a high school teacher, I also have a new principal. And Mr. Stephen Ost has joined the district. He brought in a speaker for us that encouraged us in the high school to focus on creating lifelong learners who will take that STEM education and actually prepare kids for a world where it's about how you solve the problem, not if you knew the answer when you walked out of the school's doors. It was an incredible motivational delivery for us, and we felt valued, we felt heard, and we felt like we were part of a collaborative spirit moving forward as one group. So I wanted tonight to say that, you know, we know that we'll have challenges and opportunities to address issues together, but it is our intention to move forward and not to look behind, but to truly move forward. So I just wanted to acknowledge that Joelle put together a new and original opening for us this year, and we sincerely appreciated it, along with our t-shirts.
Thank you.
That's great.
Appreciate that.
Anyone else wishing to be heard? Very well, then. Item 6, board member committee reports. We have A, financial liaison audit committee.
That'd be me. Actually, we're just finishing up our third week of the annual state auditor's audit. It is going very well. They started early this year. This is kind of phase one. They normally don't start this early, but you know, for being the new treasurer, it actually has been a, you know, most people would say, you know, starting with an audit. Actually, it was very welcome, and I've actually enjoyed working with three of the auditors. We've had two or three that have shuffled in and out, so it's been actually a very pleasant conversation. Obviously, as you all know, Mr. Burdine left things in very good working order. I would call it, and quote-unquote, there's a great integrity of the books, and I think we'll find out. It's about a five-month process. They'll wrap up, I believe, Wednesday, Thursday of this week, but nothing really unusual, as you could well imagine. The next phase, really, in meeting with Steve Julian and Group, CPA firm, that's coming up September, October. Steve was in last week to kind of talk about cash basis to GAAP conversion, which is next up on this on the annual audit protocol, and so far so good. That's it for me.
Okay, sorry about that. Item B, permanent improvement committee.
You know, we've kind of put the emphasis for this now into the new facilities study that we're doing and so forth. So we have as a permanent improvement committee. I don't think we've met now for 6 months or so, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, the facilities committee is really the driver right now.
Which got kicked off last week, I'm thinking. There's meetings this week.
Yeah.
I mean, we're on a pell-mell mission to get an awful lot done between now and the end of the year. You know, we understand that this is going to be a consequential decision for our community coming up. And I would just say that, you know, we'll continue to go through all the different options, try to get as much information out to the public as we can, as in timely a fashion as we can, and that's going to be our focus for at least the next 6 months or so. And we've got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, the first meeting was very well attended, and there was an overview given to everyone who showed up of kind of where we're at, the facility studies that were done. We also brought out some of the survey questions. Some people recall, we did a survey last spring? No, it was last fall.
Yeah.
Last fall. And there were some questions on there that were facilities related. So we kind of got a chance to, everyone got a chance to see what those questions were and what the responses were, kind of set some grounding. Then we broke up into four subcommittees. So I think one was communication, one was finance, one was facilities and educational adequacy. But the idea is to kind of divide and conquer. So each of those groups has a certain set of responsibilities, and then we'll bring it all back together and work on a very tight timeline. I think there was also some tours being set up for people to go see the buildings and actually get a firsthand look at some of the facilities if you haven't been in the buildings, and just get everybody grounded and, moving forward.
Okay. And how many, you had like 35 people attend that, is that correct?
Chris, is that?
Yep.
Yeah. That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
D, Board Policy Committee.
Transportation Appeals.
Oh, sorry, Transportation Appeals Committee. Whoa, my fault.
There are
no appeals? That's wonderful. That's great. Well, you heard correct, none. D, Board Policy Committee.
We just received an email today from Pat Corbett to set up the next meeting with our updates. We have tentatively scheduled that meeting for September 28th, so both Debbie and Mark should be getting a calendar invite tomorrow from Jean to invite you to that meeting at 8 o'clock that morning to go over our next round of policy updates.
So E is CVCC report. So I'm excited. There's a new program that's going to be at CVCC, which is really exciting, which is sports medicine. So it's in its developmental stage this year. It'll roll out next year. There's a lot of certifications the students will be able to get. We're working in conjunction with Tri-C is one university that comes to mind, but some other universities as well. So our students and all our neighbor in our compact will be able to then flow into a four-year program, actually. So that's the goal of it. So that's exciting, and that space is going to be developing on the second level of CVCC. And then item F, other board member reports. Okay. Item 7, other board business. A, resolve to approve the new revised board policies listed below as presented at the May 22nd, 2017 board meeting. This is our second reading. So we have one. 2464, gifted education and identification. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion, clarification? It's the second reading. I think you did it the first time. Okay. Roll call.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Dozen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes. Item passes 5-0. Item 8, superintendent announcements.
Okay, I have a couple. First and foremost, we have some staff recognitions. I'd like to recognize Todd Goodman. He got a recognition from the Cleveland Clinic Foundation Office of Government and Community Relationships for his participation in the Expressions Program. He has participated in this in over 5 years, and Cleveland Clinic does a really nice job with this. It allows kids the opportunity to express themselves through creative writing and through medicine and science. And so Todd has participated every year with a group of kids, so he got recognized for doing it for 5 years in a row. So congratulations to Todd. And a big congratulations to Steve Cocciola. He was selected as the first ever Akron Symphony Orchestra Music Educator of the Year. So he's going to be receiving an award from the Akron Symphony Orchestra on November 18th. It's going to be presented to him at a concert. And then they would like to come here to our December board meeting and present the award to him with all of you. So I said absolutely.
Awesome.
So congratulations to him.
That's awesome.
Very good.
Can we get them set up in the auditorium to play something first, maybe?
We can try. I don't know about if we can have that kind of pull, but we'll definitely try.
With light hors d'oeuvres.
Mrs. Garlock was also a runner-up for this award, so we have two.
Wow.
So they will be presenting to her as well at our meeting in December. So congratulations to them. They are awesome at what they do. And with that, I mean, based on, you know, they're being awesome, we've had several students that were selected into the Northeast Region Orchestra and All-State and All-State Choir. So I'd like to tell you who those are. The following students were for the Ohio Music Education North Region Orchestra: violins, Stephen Choi, Ethan Melander, Erica Nye, and I apologize if I'm saying these names wrong, Dan Rohrer, David Sadowski, Jay Young Yu, did I say it right?
Yes.
Okay. Violas, Victoria, is it Cattell? And Jenna Shin, basses, Robert Hendrick, and Jasper Jones. And the following students have qualified for the All-State Orchestra in Columbus: David Sadowski and Erica Nee is the alternate, and Jasper Jones is also an alternate. Our state choir, this is pretty incredible. Delia Brennan, Marissa DeMeo, and Lana Trom will be representing at the OMA conference in February. Grace Auble is the alternate. In the history of this school, we've never, had four women make it this far in the process. And each year, there's over 300 to 400 people who participate in these tryouts who audition for a choir of 150. So we've had four get to this level. So this is incredibly talented kids, and we're very proud of them. So congratulations to all of those students. Couple of just quick announcements. If you have not been in the center of town, you may notice one of our school buses that has a sign on the side advertising for school bus drivers. So
maybe I can
this
do
is
that
very
next
interesting.
Year.
So on my drive to work all summer, I saw that Nordonia City Schools had done that, and I shared it with Rick, and I said, Rick, this is great. They have this bus in the middle of the city. I said, I wonder if they're getting any bus drivers. As you know, we have a bus driver shortage in the whole state of Ohio. This is not just an issue that we're dealing with. So I shared this idea with Rick, and I didn't know that he did it, and he apparently did on Sunday, and I got a picture from a resident on Sunday and said, was this your idea? And I texted him back, and I said, I don't know, was it a good idea? And so they said yes. And so we actually have had 2 phone calls from that bus being there to call to inquire about becoming a bus driver. So it may be desperate measures, but if it's working and we can get drivers to drive our kids, then so be it. So I just wanted to
it's
bring
that.
It's
got a nice little sticker on
it. Does.
It says, it want your kids to want to help kids arrive safely at school?
Drive
call
me.
This, yeah, yeah, drive me. Yeah. Call this number.
It's very fun.
Very good idea.
And we've also had some changes in attendance laws that went into effect this year. Attendance used to be, we used to have a couple weeks during the year that we would report out our attendance, and that was tied to our funding and so forth. The district has started, well, not the district, the state has started tracking our attendance daily, but they've also changed our laws and attendance to be reported in hours as opposed to days. And because of that, and certainly for safety reasons too, it's become necessary to take attendance periods during the courses of the middle school and high school days. Teachers take attendance anyways during their classes, but we never really did take attendance when kids were either at lunch or study halls or some of those times where, you know, there's more kids. So the high school have installed some scanners in the study hall rooms for kids to be able, when they come in, to scan their badge. And really, the scanners were minimal at cost. They were paid for out of the building budget. Less than $200 for these scanners. I think we have 3 of them. We had one before, so we have a total now of 4. And what it is really for twofold. It's to help us monitor the attendance that we now have to report on an hourly basis, safety of our kids. You know, sometimes kids leave for a period of the day and we don't know where they are. It becomes a safety issue, so we wanted to, you know, put something in place for that. And also because our funding is also tied to attendance, we want to make sure that we're accurately reporting it as possible. So the scanners were installed in just those areas, not in every classroom, so that we can better keep track of kids in attendance. So I wanted you to be aware of that. And the last issue that I wanted just to bring up is that we've had some conversations with St. Albert the Great. As you know, we're required by law to transport kids on our buses to any of the parochial schools within our attendance boundaries. So we currently transport kids to St. Michael, Basil's, Assumption, Old Trail, and to St. Albert the Great. Our numbers at St. Albert the Great have increased by at least 20-some kids from last year, so we currently have 84 students that we are providing transportation to St. Albert the Great. We run a satellite program for that busing. So in other words, the kids are picked up on our central buses. They are taken to Central School. They are then put on buses and taken to Assumption. Last year, I can speak to, and I can speak to this year, you know, certainly at the beginning of the school year, even with our own runs, with our kids going to our schools, our buses have run a little bit late until we can iron out all of those, you know, times that kids are going to be arriving. With the satellite method of how we get kids to St. Albert the Great, if one bus is late coming into Central, it throws off that St. Albert the Great bus then going to school. They start at 8:50, and so we try to leave Central by 8:20 to get them there at 8:45, which is still a close window, but it's based on the times that our buses arrive at Central too. We have been late every day this week. We've talked to Rick. The time has gotten shorter. The first couple days of school, they were getting there 20 minutes late, like at 9:15. For class, we've gotten it down to about 9:05. It is still late. You know, Ed has received several phone calls from parents complaining about the bus service. We called down to the state and we talked to Bob Harmon.
Yes,
Bob Harmon today, just to make sure that, you know, they absolutely feel that it is in our we are well within our right to take about 2 weeks to figure out those bus schedules so that we can get them there in time. Rick has adjusted times that they have left to go on their routes accordingly, so that is one of the reasons why the buses have been able to get there, you know, earlier. We're still running into a problem. St. Albert the Great would like us not to run a satellite program. They would like us to provide their own buses to pick up their kids so that they can ensure that they would get there on time. When we talked to Bob, we talked about our satellite. He said, you know, it's your job to run an efficient bus service, and providing them their own buses is not necessarily efficient. And once we do for them, it won't be long before the other schools are asking us to do the same thing. I did have Rick run the numbers. It would cost about an additional $60,000 per year to put an additional two buses on the road in the morning. We already run buses that go directly from St. Albert the Great to the kids' homes after school because of the timing. They get out at 3:30, so it doesn't conflict, or it's right in the middle, so we can dedicate two buses. In the morning, unfortunately, we don't have that luxury of dedicating two buses just to that unless we're willing to add an additional route to do so. I bring this to your attention because I've had daily conversations, and they have threatened to come and speak to you about that. But I wanted to throw it out there, just the numbers, where they've increased, the cost of what it would be, what the state says about our running our model, which they feel is appropriate. It just might be that we have to iron out some of these, you know, timings for the next couple of weeks if we decide to stay with that satellite model. We've also offered to St. Albert the Greats to, instead of running our kids with the central route, to run them on the middle school route, which gets them to school much earlier. So they would be there on time, except they would be there much earlier. Their day starts at 8:50. Those buses, if they rode the middle school, would probably get those kids to school at 8:25, so a good half hour before the start of their day. When we ask the state, you know, what is our responsibility, it's to do what we would do for any of our kids. And so by providing them options of either taking the middle school or, you know, running our satellite is not outside of what we are expected to provide for them. So we're just going to work through some of the times unless you give me direction otherwise to look at, you know, possibly adding another route for them, or we'll work through the times. I'm just letting you know that there might be some parents that you hear from because of this, you know, adjustment here in the next couple of weeks.
What does Rick think in terms of we've gotten better, and we're saying that give us a few more weeks, and do we think we can get them there on time regularly?
Rick says give me to the end of the week and we'll have them there on time. You know, the complaint coming out of St. Albert the Great obviously is that I think I have it in the text, we are the only school district that whose buses are it's an issue, that every other school district that services St. Albert the Great is able to get their buses there on time except for us. We looked into that a little bit. He spoke specifically of Parma. Parma has dedicated buses that run just to St. Albert the Great. They are not running a satellite model or the most efficient busing model where we are. And
we're not going to model Parma.
That is the request of St. Albert the Great, that we do, we isolate these buses and just have their own runs. But
another question is, all the road construction that we have in Brooksville impacting that?
Of course it is. Okay. Just as it's impacting all of our routes to our buildings, it is impacting, but it can't be an excuse. You know, what the state says is you can't get the kids to school late every day. You know, right. We'll give you some leeway the first 2 to 3 weeks to iron out your routes, but after that you can't use, you know, construction as a reason as to why you're getting kids to school late. So, Rick, like I said, Rick is working on it every day since the start of their school. They have gotten there earlier and earlier. Today was the only day that they got there later, and that was because a St. Albert's parent came and dropped their child off at Central, and the bus had to turn around to go pick that child up. So they were there very late. But other than that, they were slated to be in there today at 8:45 and had to turn around and pick up this other student. So we're working through it. We are working on it. It's something that is on our, you know, Rick has been on top of it. We've been on top of it. We've called the state to make sure that we're all in line. So just heads up to you that this continues to be an issue, but we're working through it and doing the best we can. And we've provided options that are not favorable to them, and that would be riding the middle school buses.
Thanks for the update. You've got a great man working on it. I know we put him through the paces a couple years ago when we reinstituted high school busing. Sure. We had him run more scenarios than could reasonably be expected. So if it can be done, Rick will be on it.
Okay.
I had a question, I wanted to circle back on the new attendance requirements, mm-hmm. where it's by hour.
Mm-hmm.
So how will they roll up? I mean, now you're, well, first question is, because we have to do it at such a granular level now, is there additional cost to us, or is this something we were doing already and it's a no big deal kind of thing?
There's no additional cost to us. We just have to report it differently. The definition of truancy and what is considered truant is now measured in hours as opposed to days. Okay. They got rid of the definition of habitual truant. So there's just different definitions because the whole school calendar now went to the number of hours that kids have to attend. They now have moved attendance to be recorded in hours.
Rick might have a solution for you there too. Pick up a little later. A few more hours in the afternoon.
So how will that roll up then into the attendance figures that are used for our funding model? Because the other one was we just took attendance, what, two times a year officially to report, you know, what our attendance was, what our enrollment, you know, is that, so does that change then, and what implications does that potentially have?
I would like to give you a more complete answer on that, but what I can tell you is the ADM weeks in October and February, and then it went, they dropped the February and back to October, that's been gone for a couple years now.
Okay.
So we have been measuring daily ADM to calculate our funding. How the hour calculation is going to play into that. In other words, is a kid going to get counted for attending a whole day if they've attended X number of hours? So I don't know those figures off the top of my head, but I can look into those for you.
I'm just curious if it has the potential to impact us either positively or negatively,
sure.
Or if it's all going to come out in the wash anyway.
I'll have Leslie look into that, and I'll be able to report to you on that later.
Okay, item 9, Superintendent's Consent Agenda. We have A, Certified Recommendations, B, Classified Recommendations in tab 2, and C, Supplemental Recommendations in tab 3. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? Okay. Please call the roll.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Dozen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Item passes 5-0. Item 10, other superintendent's business. We have A, IdeaStream Smart Consortium annual membership, B, settlement agreement, 2 years with Monarch, C, resolve that the Brecksville Broadview Heights Board of Education approve the enrollment of, Co-Watch in ninth grade as a tuition student at Brecksville Broadview Heights, class of 2021. That's tab 6, D. And then we have resolved that the Brecksville Broadview Heights Board of Education approve the enrollment of Victor Voinovich, ninth grade, as a tuition student at Brecksville Broadview Heights for class of 2021, tab 7. And then item 10, superintendent's business. We have B, resolved that the Brecksville Broadview Heights Board of Education approve the enrollment of Kale Voinovich in sixth grade as a tuition student at Brecksville Broadview Heights Middle School, class of 2024. We have F, adjustment of school fees, preschool through eighth grade, grades 4 and 5, tab 9. 6, adjustment of high school fees, Mandarin Chinese 1, 2, and 4, tab 10. And H, donations to schools, tab 11. And I, 2017-2018 bus routes as posted on district website. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Any items?
Great.
Okay, roll call.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Dozen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes. Item passes 5-0. 11, Treasurer's Consent Agenda. We have A, the Financial Report of July 2017, tab 12, and B, the Minutes of the July 24th, 2017 meeting, tab 13. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, discussion. Okay. Please call the roll.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Dozen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Item passes 5-0. Item 12, executive session. For the purpose of preparing for, conducting, or reviewing negotiations or bargaining.
I'm sorry, Kathleen. Were we going to actually go through the presentation? I think we missed that.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, I think we.
But I waited and then we did.
Yeah, I think we skipped over the important part.
That's okay. It's all right. We'll back up and
back
up on some numbers.
Back it up. We never voted. I'd like to suspend that. Okay, thank you.
No, thank you very much.
We have so much confidence in you, Jeff. We vote ahead of time.
I know. That was awesome. I appreciate that.
All the pressure's off. Just
I know.
Yourself.
It's amazing. All right. Any questions?
Where'd that $4 million go?
That's actually, I had that to start with, Mike. Just introduce myself for folks I haven't met yet here. My name is Jeff Hall. I'm the new treasurer here for Brecksville Broadview Heights. Happy to discuss the first month of the new fiscal year 18. Mike actually alluded to the kind of the first question. For those of you who are not used to looking at school financials, basically we're here to talk about revenues and expenses and where we stand year-to-date, which is fiscal year-to-date here. These numbers are as of the as of July 31, 2017. As we look at the revenues, we're always looking for trends and changes just to make the board and also the public aware of how healthy the school system financials are. Mike alluded to something that jumps off the page, which is the largest number on the page, this is a variance. We're actually looking at a numbers according to our five-year forecast, which is published in the month of May and updated in the month of October. So everything you see here is, and you see variance, that just means we had a five-year forecast and these numbers, the actual July 31 numbers, first month of the new fiscal year, that's how it compares year over year in accordance to the original forecast set back in May. So the reason for the negative variance, I can assure you, it is actually just a timing issue. We actually received our county property tax settlement on August 15th of $10 million. So I can assure you that was just a timing issue. So I'll move on to the next matter. The unrestricted grants and aids, the $19,550 under column four there, that's actually what we received from the state of Ohio. The unrestricted grants and aid is what is also referred as state aid. So that was we actually had a positive variance of $19,005. And the reason for that positive variance is because the previous forecast actually estimated a negative 5% or a 5% decrease in annual funding provided by the state, which actually only accounts for about 11-12% of our total funding. But our forecast had it right, and it only dropped actually the state funding only dropped a little less than 5%. Thus, for the $240,000, if you multiply that $20,000 times 12, so that's where that number came from. Proceeding on, the $118,000 variance under all other operating revenues, that actually $137,000 came in under what we call SF-14 special education tuition receipts. We actually had a positive variance similar to last year. Actually, if you compare year over year, July 16th and July 17th, fairly similar, so nothing too out of the ordinary, and that number is pretty pretty typical. If we move into the other financial sources, it was actually discussed at the July board meeting. There was I don't want to call it a monopoly term, as a bank makes an error and you collect the bounty, but this is actually a workman compensation retro payment for a couple different reasons, probably mainly it's actually a rebate of any workman's compensation premiums that the district had paid over the last several years. Thanks to Mr. Code, we actually had that conversation about really some improved safety programs. It's a couple things. One is a rebate of some of the premiums that we could potentially say we may be overpaid, and the state came back with a different calculation years later. So that's a couple of years of potential rebates. We actually collected out of that $177,000 positive variance, $175,000 of it was a workman's compensation retro program rebate. So we'll take that every day of the week. That's why you'll see on the left-hand side, column one, we didn't even forecast for windfall. Thank you for the windfall of funds. So very positive. As we move into the expenditures, most of them are timing, but I'll speak specifically of our largest expense, our most valuable commodity, which is human resources, our teachers, personnel services. Basically, we estimated positively. We actually had a positive variance of 30,000. If you really look at so basically we actually prognosticated or forecasted a $30,000 difference to the positive for us. So we actually over forecasted spending a little bit more than you know. So 30,000 on a $1.3 million payroll twice a month or once a month is actually 30,000 is a fairly small number, but again, must be discussed. So we'll call that forecast expertise on behalf of Mr. Burdine and my staff, and so we'll carry that forward and keep up the good work. Purchase services, supplies, and materials, that really just timing of purchases and payments, and then item other objects, again, 44,000 is timing of purchase and payments for liability insurance and otherwise. So if we look at revenue, if we were revenue neutral and didn't account for that negative $4 million, we actually had a positive month of July of about 346,000. If you round it up, I tend to be conservative, so I'll round down and say 346,000. So that's a positive. It's only 1 month, but it's a good start, and I'm very thankful for my staff to be here for 4 weeks and to continue to move forward. And I do appreciate the confidence of the board, not only voting early, but also in the opportunity to bring me on board. So it's a pleasure, and it's always fun to get 1 month underneath your belt. And if I may, Mrs. Mack, I would like to recognize one gentleman here in the crowd, David Osborne, the gentleman here sitting in the back row, is actually our newest consultant. He's become a very close working partner of my own, but David is our treasurer's consultant here, really for the benefit of the school district, the board, and myself, as I am technically a new treasurer, 28 years of business experience, fully certified by the ODE, but nonetheless, it's a pleasure to have Mr. Osborne along at least once a week to kind of make sure that I don't have too many oddball questions, and I actually have enjoyed. So we're just getting started, but if you have any questions for me based on the July financials, I am open to questions. Great.
Nice job.
Thank you.
And we voted on you.
All right. Already,
so. Yeah. Before we go into exec session, I wanted to take the opportunity just because, you know, we are really looking forward to working together and moving forward and not looking backwards. And unfortunately, some people look for nice stories, and we're always seem to be a good one sometimes. And we're not going to bite into it. So I had told you that I had sent her a statement, and I just wanted to read it to you. I did pull it up. I sent it on August 17th, and I will be sending it to, was she Channel 5? Yeah, okay. Channel 5. And I said, we worked on this together, and we truly mean these words. We said, although it took more than a year of difficult negotiating with our teachers and their bargaining team, the Brecksville Broadview Heights School District reached a new agreement that now provides 4 years of labor peace and the ability to focus on other challenges facing our district. While neither the board nor the BEA achieved 100% of their goals during this bargaining period, the Brecksville Broadview Heights School District immediately and effectively came together to campaign for and ultimately pass a new operating levy that will enable the district to move forward confident in the support we have from our communities. As in all negotiations, both sides utilize outside resources to assist in reaching an agreement. The BEA has a representative from the OEA, and the board utilizes legal counsel experienced in public education law and negotiations. Both sides highly value and therefore compensate their representatives, the BEA through their dues and the board through budgeted professional service expenses. And we, the Board of Education, look forward to working with both of our unions and our educators and operating staff, our administrators and our parents, and the entire community to continue our legacy of academic, athletic, and civic excellence. So thank you for listening to that. And again, I will resubmit that to that wonderful journalist.
Okay, so may I have a motion to go into executive session?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Dozen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes. We will now be in executive session. No new business will be conducted. Thank you.
Anybody need any sign?